fishing.
Flake recently announcing he won't be seeking re-election. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The details are still hard to fathom as 13 siblings, malnourished and dirty, were discovered trapped in a home this week at a torture house in Paris, California, as officials have learned that it was never inspected by education officials, even though it's registered as a private home school. David and Louise Turpin have been arrested for the abuse in which they're accused of chaining their children to their beds. David Turpin had been homeschooling his children at the home just east of Los Angeles. This is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
It was a dazzling display of light as a meteor that residents of several states watched as it flashed across the sky last night. With more, here's USA's John Clemens.
Residents of at least six states, including those in Ontario, Canada, reported seeing the brilliant flash of light at 8:10 Central Time last night. I spoke to Carrie Ann Edwell of the U.S. Geological Survey about the possible impact somewhere in Michigan.
Our stations picked up was the meteor impact, so this is not necessarily like an earthquake or any seismic activity. It just means that a couple of our stations in the area registered the impact of the meteor.
I'm John Clemens.
A new survey finds what keeps the world's brightest leaders awake at night. USA's Chris Barnes has details.
A list of the perceived man-made threats to global stability in 2018, according to a survey of 1,000 international leaders from the worlds of business, government, academia, and civil society, include nuclear war, cyber attacks, and environmental disasters. That report was released on Wednesday in advance of the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland next week, which President Trump is expected to attend. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Thank you, Chris. You can always find more news and headlines online on our website at usaradio.com. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
We're not going to desert these young people. This, to my mind, is one of the great moral crises of our time.
Appearing on MSNBC, Senator Bernie Sanders calling it unspeakable for lawmakers in the White House to put politics ahead of the lives of hundreds of thousands of young immigrants who were brought to the U.S. illegally as children. The Democratic senator says that the Dreamers have nowhere else to go.
These are young people who were raised in the United States. They spent almost their whole lives here. They know no other country.
DACA has become part of a wider budget negotiation, with the government set to run out of money by Friday. The Deep South is getting walloped by a winter storm that stretches all the way to New England. Storm alerts are out for the Gulf Coast, and North Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama are under a state of emergency. By this afternoon, forecasters are expecting snow to move into the Raleigh, North Carolina area, and a storm warning has been posted for 3 to 6 inches of snow there. Major traffic delays are expected this evening in the Carolinas from Columbia to Raleigh. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. Maybe you've heard us talking about MediShare on the radio, or heard people saying how they're really thankful for MediShare, and you're like, okay, what exactly are you talking about? It's a great question. So here's what it is. MediShare is a nationwide community of Christians who share each other's medical costs. Here's why it's grown so much. MediShare costs about half what other healthcare programs cost. It's flexible, too, so you can pick a plan that fits your monthly budget, and you get to choose your own doctor from one of America's largest networks. Something else people really appreciate? You don't have to pay for procedures or prescriptions that go against your beliefs. And you know what the best part is? It works. And it's worked for more than 20 years. People who've experienced catastrophic health bills get their needs met. People pray for each other. MediShare is a nonprofit, faith-based ministry, and it could be a huge blessing to you. Here's how you can find out more. Call 833-39-BIBLE, now available in Montana. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
A Republican lawmaker admonishes President Trump on the Senate floor for how he treats the media. USA's Chris Barnes.
The free press is the despot's enemy, which makes the free press the guardian of democracy.
Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona condemning President Trump for telling what he calls untruths to the American people and for introducing alternative facts to the American lexicon.
When a figure in power reflexively calls any press that doesn't suit him fake news, it is that person who should be the figure of suspicion.
Flake recently announcing he won't be seeking re-election. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The details are still hard to fathom as 13 siblings, malnourished and dirty, were discovered trapped in a home this week at a torture house in Paris, California, as officials have learned that it was never inspected by education officials, even though it's registered as a private home school. David and Louise Turpin have been arrested for the abuse in which they're accused of chaining their children to their beds. David Turpin had been homeschooling his children at the home just east of Los Angeles. This is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
It was a dazzling display of light as a meteor that residents of several states watched as it flashed across the sky last night. With more, here's USA's John Clemens.
Residents of at least six states, including those in Ontario, Canada, reported seeing the brilliant flash of light at 8:10 Central Time last night. I spoke to Carrie Ann Edwell of the U.S. Geological Survey about the possible impact somewhere in Michigan.
Our stations picked up was the meteor impact, so this is not necessarily like a earthquake or any seismic activity. It just means that a couple of our stations in the area registered the impact of the meteor.
I'm John Clemens.
A new survey finds what keeps the world's brightest leaders awake at night. USA's Chris Barnes has the details.
A list of the perceived man-made threats to global stability in 2018, according to a survey of 1,000 international leaders from the worlds of business, government, academia, and civil society, include nuclear war, cyber attacks, and environmental disasters. That report was released on Wednesday in advance of the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland next week, which President Trump is expected to attend. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Thank you, Chris. You can always find more news and headlines online on our website at usaradio.com. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
We're not going to desert these young people. This, to my mind, is one of the great moral crises of our time.
Appearing on MSNBC, Senator Bernie Sanders calling it unspeakable for lawmakers in the White House to put politics ahead of the lives of hundreds of thousands of young immigrants who were brought to the U.S. illegally as children. The Democratic senator says that the Dreamers have nowhere else to go.
These are young people who were raised in the United States. They spent almost their whole lives here. They know no other country.
DACA has become part of a wider budget negotiation, with the government set to run out of money by Friday. The Deep South is getting walloped by a winter storm that stretches all the way to New England. Storm alerts are out for the Gulf Coast and North Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama are under a state of emergency. By this afternoon, forecasters are expecting snow to move into the Raleigh, North Carolina area, and a storm warning has been posted for 3 to 6 inches of snow there. Major traffic delays were expected this evening in the Carolinas from Columbia to Raleigh. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a one-ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Hello, my name is David Lazar, and we have had a little bit of technical difficulties, but we're excited to start the show a little late, better late than never. You might not recognize my voice, and that is because this is my first appearance on the Hunterdon County Chamber radio station. I'm here to try to achieve the impossible, to turn a county into hockey fans. My show, titled Destination Hockey, will be your source for all things hockey, but we will be taking a unique approach. The tri-state area, where most of our listeners are from, is home to three teams, the New York Rangers, New Jersey Devils, and New York Islanders. Many of our listeners will be from these areas, so we will try to be mainly focusing on these teams in the show. Also important to note is our background. My co-hosts, who unfortunately cannot be here today due to technical difficulties, are Jared Flax and Harris Eisenberg, who are writers for my website called Drive for Five. On Drive for Five, we cover the New York Islanders, and that is where we will be focusing today. I am proud to announce that we have an interview set up today with Chris King, the radio host of the New York Islanders, which I will be feeding him in right now and setting that up. Hello, Mr. King. Are you there? Mr. King, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I'm glad we got through that. So now we are ready to start our interview. Thank you so much for coming on.
Sure, no problem.
So this is Islanders radio announcer Chris King. He's been doing this for quite a while, and he is an amazing guest to start the show off with. We've had a lot of guests on our podcast, the Drive for Five podcast, but this is definitely one of our best. So I just wanted to thank you again for coming on.
Sure, no problem.
So basically what we're going to do here is just ask you a few questions about your background and just give the audience a little bit of a view into what it's like to be an Islanders fan coming from one of the best. So as the radio broadcaster of the Islanders this season, you have seen a very interesting team. The New York Islanders are a team located in Brooklyn that we will be focusing our show on a lot of. And basically, they are one of the craziest teams in the league because they have a lot of offense and some pretty bad defense. So as you most certainly know, The team has one of the best offenses in the league right behind the Tampa Bay Lightning, but also has the worst defense in the league, giving up around 3.6 goals a game. Do you think the Islanders' style of play this year is sustainable over the course of a season?
Well, I mean, you bring up a good point, and, you know, the offense has been a lot of fun to watch. You know, that top line when everybody was healthy of John Tavares with Josh Bailey and Anders Lee has been so much fun, and then the second line with, you know, Matt Barzal, who's the talk of the league right now and a real, you know, leading candidate for Rookie of the Year along with Jordan Eberle and Andrew Ladd. Every night you never know what you're going to see because they're all so, you know, crazy talented, and, you know, for the most part of the season they've been, you know, in the top three in the league in goals or assists or points, or in the case of Matt Barzal, you know, leading all rookies right now in points and assists. But the flip side of that coin is, yeah, you have to do a much, much better job of helping out your goaltenders. I think, you know, we've seen Jaro Halak and Thomas Greiss each have very good stretches this year, and then each have very poor stretches. But I think the biggest issue right now has been, you know, they can't prevent the opponent from getting shots on goal. It seems like every single night the opposition is getting 35, 40 shots on goal, and it really reached its apex Monday night in Montreal when the Canadiens put 56 shots on Thomas Greiss, but yet, you know, the Islanders found a way to win that game in overtime. So right now, to me, guys, you know, the injury part of it is a big reason why they're giving up so many shots. Right now, they have seven players who are out injured, and these are all regular players. And, you know, Nikolai Kuhlman, Calvin DeHaan, Johnny Boychuk, Josh Bailey, Andrew Ladd, Casey Cizikas, and then they lose Shane Prince last night in the loss to the Devils. So I think, you know, when they're healthy, they certainly can do a better job of playing defense and preventing all those shots, as we saw in the months of October and November. But as December became January, the injury bug really crept up on them, and that's when we really saw, you know, these shot totals begin to skyrocket. So it's a combination of, you know, playing better defense, the young players who are up now from the Bridgeport Sound Tigers getting a little more experience under their belt, and hopefully those veteran players returning sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so it's definitely been a crazy time with the defense, and you definitely touched on that. But this team right now, Garth Snow and Doug Weight have really shown they love their young guys, whether it's Sebastian Aho, a new guy, Scott Mayfield, and Adam Pellick, who the Islanders just gave huge, in terms of term, contract extensions. But the Islanders' defense has been a problem, and all fans and hopefully Garth Snow and Doug Weight realize this. So this season, you know, defense has been the main issue, but Garth Snow has been a little hesitant to address this issue, whether it's claiming a solid defenseman like Cody Franson out of Chicago or trading draft picks for a quality defenseman that are rumored to be available like Chris Tanev, Eric Gudbranson, or possibly Niklas Hjalmarsson. So why do you think Snow has been reluctant to make a trade, and do you potentially see one happening in the coming future?
Well, I mean, it's certainly possible, but, you know, if you follow Garth closely, and, you know, he's been at this for a dozen years now as general manager of the New York Islanders, you see what he likes to do, and, you know, his preference is certainly to try to develop homegrown talent, and you touched on, you know, some of those guys who are homegrown Islanders, and Pellick and Pullock and Mayfield and Aho, you know, players that have been drafted by the New York Islanders. And, you know, the hope is that, first of all, Johnny Boychuk can be back. You know, of all the defensemen who are out, he's the one guy that certainly should be back sooner rather than later, and the hope is maybe even perhaps get him skating during this upcoming week-long road trip the Islanders have that'll take them from Chicago to Arizona and to Las Vegas. So Calvin DeHaan, obviously a different story. He might be done for the rest of the regular season, but, you know, in Pellick and Mayfield and Pullock and Aho, you have four defensemen who are 25 or younger, and they'd really like to give them all an opportunity. You talked about those contracts that, you know, Mayfield and Pellick have picked up recently, so Garth Snow showed his faith in what he's seen from those guys. I've really liked what we've seen from Sebastian Aho in just, you know, limited amount of time, how confident, how poised he is for just a 21-year-old kid who's, you know, not only getting his first taste of the NHL, but his first taste of life in North America after playing his entire career in Sweden prior. And, you know, Ryan Pullock is that secret weapon that, you know, if they can find a way to get him open more on that power play with that big 105-mile-an-hour slap shot, they really like his upside as well. So Garth Snow's preference has always been to try to promote from within. Eventually, you know, if that doesn't work and the shot total doesn't come down to help out the goaltenders, then I think you might have to explore some of those avenues that you talked about, which obviously are, you know, trying to make a trade to bring in a veteran D-man who could immediately help, as opposed to, you know, trying to get these young players over the certain amount of game market. I always go back to what Al Arbor said. Al Arbor, the legendary late Islander coach, always said it takes defensemen a couple of hundred games in the NHL before they really, you know, feel acclimated to how different this league is than any other. And obviously those four youngsters we talked about are nowhere near even the 100-game mark at this point in their career.
Yeah, the team's definitely young, and that has been something that Garth Snow has liked in the past, where the Islanders are a fast team. And, you know, continuing with that trend has been Matt Barzal. A lot of our listeners who may just be tuning in, not big Islanders fans, may not even know who Matt Barzal is, but he's basically one of the most dynamic figures in the tri-state area in terms of hockey. He's really coming into a star. He's molding into a player that the Islanders seem to be able to count on for years. Garth Snow, it was one of his best moves. He got him from Peter Chiarelli, making a big trade to trade up and give up Griffin Reinhart to get both Anthony Beauvillier and Matt Barzal, who have been two amazing players for the Islanders that have been friends for a long time. So basically what I want to ask is, regarding Matt Barzal, how do you think he can stabilize the team in the future and just really become, you know, we don't really know the future right now with John Tavares, but one thing we do know is Matt Barzal is there. And how do you feel that Matt Barzal can be just a Mount Rushmore piece for the Islanders in terms of him just really leading this team to where they want to be in the future?
Yeah, well, he certainly has shown signs already that, you know, I don't know if he can be a John Tavares type player, because that sometimes once in a generation, you know, what John Tavares has been able to do in his 9 years. But boy, you look at his numbers and what he's done in his rookie season alone, and it's not just, you know, what he's doing on the ice, which is remarkable, to, you know, already have 2 5-point games, to have a hat trick, you know, to lead all rookies in points, lead all rookies in assists, and really open up a pretty good lead now over everybody that's chasing him, you know, potentially for that Calder Trophy as the league's best rookie. But, you know, we're starting to go into buildings like we did on Monday in Montreal, and after the game, when you have guys like Max Pacioretty, the captain of the Canadiens, saying he's the best skater in the league, he's talking about Matt Barzal, he said, and no one else is even close. I mean, that's the first time he ever got to play against Matt Barzal, and immediately he said he's the best skater in the league. And you've got other, you know, Canadiens afterwards, you know, being quoted as saying, you know, the way he can move and turn and pivot with the puck and do things on the fly is like Connor McDavid's. And now if you're starting to throw that name into the mix, that's pretty high praise for Matt Barzal. But, you know, it's been fun to watch him and Anthony Beauvillier. You talk about the fact, you know, that they're very close friends. They're both just 20 years old, which is remarkable, too. They both were drafted, you know, the top two picks a couple years back by the New York Islanders after those moves you talked about. And just to see them blossom together. And you know, let's not forget about Bo, because it's been a bit of an up-and-down season for Beauvillier. But ever since that brief stay with the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, he's come back and, you know, taken the place of Andrew Ladd on that line with Barzal and Eberle. And, you know, going into last night's game against New Jersey, in just 3 games together, those guys had 22 points combined, which is just an outrageous number for any line. I think most lines would take that for a month, and you know, those guys did it in just 3 nights. So it's going to be fun to watch these guys for a long, long time. They, you know, are come almost kind of the next wave of the New York Islanders. If you look at, you know, Josh Bailey here 10 years now and John Tavares here 9 years, I think, you know, 9 and 10 years from now, we might be talking about Matt Barzal in the same breath that we are with John Tavares right now.
Yeah, he's definitely a talent that is just a witness to behold. When you just see him skating around the ice, and it's no one can catch him. He's a dynamic player, and he really is someone that the Islanders can count on for years. Another player who, coming into the season, the Islanders had a lot of young players that had big expectations. Another player that I'm sure a lot of non-Islanders fans are not even aware of is Joshua Hosang, and that's because he's had a rough go of things this season. He has been sent to the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, where since his send down in a few weeks ago, he has already played with 9 different line mates. He's been a healthy scratch, and his coach, albeit referring to him just as a young player, did call him immature and a baby, which was tough criticism for such a young, dynamic player. And Joshua Hosang is a player who has the potential to play a similar game like Matt Barzal. He's a great skater, he's a great passer, and he, you know, can put the puck in the net. But this season has been tough for him. And how do you feel that Joshua Hosang, being a young player, being someone who is struggling, how do you think that he can make a rebound, hopefully this season, if not next season, with the Islanders, and be a starting player for the Islanders, someone they can count on in the future?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, he's in the exact right place where he needs to be right now. You know, he's only 21 years old and has a tremendous upside, as you've said. You know, we've seen his potential. We've seen what he can do in his brief stays with the New York Islanders, but we've also seen the downside of it. He's already had, you know, 2 trips back to the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, and we're really not sure how long this one's going to be. But Brent Thompson is the perfect coach for him right now. You know, you talk to all these guys who come up from the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. When Anthony Beauvillier came back, he praised Brent Thompson. I just talked to, you know, Michael Dal Cole this week, who praised all the work that Brent Thompson has done with him over the last 2 years. So Brent Thompson is going to be a deliverer of tough love for Josh Hosang. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, you made the comment, obviously he's been a healthy scratch a couple of times since he's returned to the Tigers this second time around. So the things, you know, that Brent Thompson wants him to do is just you know, be a much more responsible defensive player, I think, number one. Limit his turnovers, number two. Make the simple play instead of the fancy play when it's not always there. And sometimes, you know, he wants to make those fancy highlight reel plays that show up on, you know, NHL Network every night. And it's great when they work, but when they don't, sometimes, you know, it's the other team going the other way and it ends up in the back of your net. So he definitely has a lot of things that he has to work on. But I think the fact that, you know, he's had a taste of what life is like in the National Hockey League, and he knows how good it can be, and he's seen what Brent Thompson and the coaching staff of the Bridgeport Sound Tigers have done for other players who've come up, you know, since he's gone down, and he can, you know, see how successful they've been. The best example, Anthony Beauvillier, you know, getting that confidence back in just three games with the Sound Tigers and has been a different player since coming back to the New York Islanders. So I think, you know, it's going to be a rough, tough road for Josh Hosang, but he's in the perfect place right now in the perfect league for him with the perfect coach to try to get him back to the National Hockey League.
Yeah, and, you know, thank you so much for talking about a little bit of the Islanders season, especially coming from you. That is definitely very informative and helpful. And one thing I do want to talk about a little bit now is you personally, because a lot of people listening today may not be hockey fans, and we're trying to get them to be hockey fans living in Harnain County, New Jersey. There's not a lot of hockey fans around here, so our goal with this show is to try to make some of our listeners into hockey fans. So I do want to ask a little bit about your journey to being a broadcaster. I've talked to a lot of journalists. I've talked to Arthur Staple, Alan Hahn, Andy Graziano, all great names in the Islanders journalism field. And they all have very interesting, unique paths that they took to get to where they are. And yours is probably one of the most interesting. We noticed that you went to Binghamton for, you know, computer science, which is a school I'm actually looking at, ironically. And, you know, we saw that, you know, you were a computer programmer. You were not someone who might have wanted to do broadcasting as their first choice right out of college. So do you mind just briefly discussing how hockey basically called your name and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, I really, you know, when I went to college, I had two interests, and that's really, you know, you touched on one of them, and that was grad school at Binghamton for computer science, where I got my master's degree. But before that, I went undergrad to SUNY Geneseo, and my first love was broadcasting, and Geneseo had a great program. They had two radio stations and a TV station, and I really got lucky in the fact that when I arrived there as a freshman in 1979, the hockey broadcasters were both seniors and had graduated, so I got, like, thrown right into the mix. I immediately got to work at both radio stations, the TV station, and to start broadcasting Geneseo Ice Night Hockey right off the bat. So over the course of 4 years there, I did over 100 NCAA hockey games, which was the greatest experience you could have for someone that really, you know, wanted to find out about broadcasting and how much fun it could be. But when I graduated Geneseo, I still really had this strong pull toward the computer science side as well. So I went to Binghamton and got my graduate degree in computer science and came out. And at that time, you know, first off, got a job as a software engineer working on Long Island for Grumman, which at the time was a major defense contractor and one of the biggest employers on Long Island, as a matter of fact, then. It's since, you know, been downsized a lot, but they were employing a lot of people, and, you know, they made me a very generous offer to become a software engineer right out of grad school, so that's what I took. And I really liked it there, but, you know, little by little, I just missed the radio, and that was, you know, something that was a huge part of my life for all those years at Geneseo, and I just started to miss it. So I found a way while I was still doing software engineering full-time to get back into radio part-time, do some radio on the weekends, do some, you know, DJing, do some news, do some sports, and talk the radio station that I was working at into letting me cover the Islanders, because I grew up an Islander fan. I followed them, you know, since they first arrived on Long Island back in 1972. So they were willing to let me cover Islander games as a reporter and just put together these little one-minute reports that ran on the radio station. And actually, I did that for 5 years. And then what happened was that radio station got the rights to broadcast Islander games. That station was WRCN, which actually is still part of our radio network these days, is ironically, but then it was a classic rock station. And when they got the rights to broadcast the games, they said, hey, you know, here's Chris King. He's covered the team for 5 years. He's followed them since day one. Let's let him do the intermission, the pregame, and the postgame. So that's how I started on the broadcast. I did that for 2 years. Then it moved to another station, a legendary alternative music station, WLIR, where they asked me to not only do those jobs, but to produce the games and engineer the games. So I said, sure. You know, I had done all that at Geneseo, too. So I did that for another 2 years. And then the Islanders came to me, and this was kind of the fateful fork in the road in 1998. I was still, you know, doing my software engineering full-time at a different company at Reuters at that time. But the Islanders said, you know, you've done a great job all these years of doing all these little jobs. We'd like you to be the color analyst. So that was kind of my fork in the road because the way it was presented to me from the Islander side, you know, it had to be a full-time job with the Islanders. I couldn't continue to do the software engineering anymore. So at that point, I said I have to chase, you know, my dream, what I really love, even though I liked my software engineering job. I loved, you know, working the hockey games on the Islander side of it. So in 1998, I put the software engineering behind me. I became, you know, the full-time color analyst on the radio for the New York Islanders. I did 12 years of color analyst, and then the play-by-play position opened up, and now I'm in my eighth season of doing play-by-play. So when you add it all up, it's 24 years of working on every Islander radio broadcast, and it's 29 years of covering the team. So I pretty much have had every single job, you know, that you can possibly have on a hockey broadcast all the way up to play-by-play, which is the one that I'm doing now and the one I probably love the most of all the jobs I've had.
Yeah, well, congratulations for that. That's an amazing career that you're already putting together. And it's great to see that you found hockey, you found your true love. And that seems to be how most people who succeed in their field kind of get there. They find what they want to do. And if you're not doing what you love to do, then you're really not going to be happy in life. So it's great to see that you really made that jump and that you have succeeded so much. One thing that I did want to ask you relating to that, you've been doing this for a long time, and basically you're one thing that I kind of feel like is I saw it all over NHL Network, all over ESPN, all over everywhere, basically. And that call that you had after John Tavares's goal that put the Islanders into the next round of the playoffs, won them their first playoff round in over 20 years, that was a very, very famous call. It was a monumental call for the Islanders, and you really aced it. And how did you feel that call, you know, basically summarized the Islanders, you know, push to where they are now? And how do you feel that was basically a monumental part of your career?
Yeah, it became a much bigger thing than I thought it was going to be, you know, to be honest. At the time, I have to give Jigs McDonald, the legendary Islander broadcaster, a little bit of credit because he kind of planted the seed in my head because obviously, you know, during that season, the yes, yes, yes thing became a huge deal for Islander fans. Every time they'd score, you know, they'd stand up in the building and do that. And one night I was watching a rebroadcast and Jigs McDonald on the air in a post-game show just kind of calmly said, you know, wasn't this a big win for the Islanders tonight? Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, it kind of hit me that, you know, this was such a big deal for the fans, and yet I had never used it once on the air myself. So I kind of tucked it away at that point and said, if there's ever a moment that's going to be a big moment for this team in its history, I want to kind of use that yes, yes, yes to relate to the fans and let them celebrate in that moment as well. Well, you know, I knew if the Islanders could finally win a playoff series for the first time in 23 years, that would be a pretty big moment. I don't think I ever expected it would happen in double overtime on a John Tavares goal. And the way it happened, again, was, you know, coming right at me. The way we were situated at Barclays Center, I had the perfect view of it, and you could almost tell the minute, you know, Roberto Luongo made the initial save and he was down and you saw John Tavares start to circle the net. It was pretty obvious he was going to end the game and end the series. So I pulled out the yes, yes, yes. My voice obviously cracked quite a bit because it does when I get emotional and when I get excited. I call that like my Peter Brady moment. But, you know, I was happy with the call. And as you say, so many fans have come up to me between now and then to say how much they love the call. And, you know, they have it as their ringtone, many of them on their phones that have brought it and showed it to me on the Long Island Railroad going to or from the game. So the fact that it means so much to others, and, you know, it meant so much to me. It really was 23 years of frustration, 23 years of emotion, all coming out on one incredible play by John Tavares. And I was just, you know, thrilled to be there and to be able to capture it in a way that made me happy, but more importantly, you know, made the Islander fan base so happy.
Yeah, and that's the goal. And that was an amazing call again. And it was such a great moment for all Islanders fans. And I do want to, before we quickly get off, I do want to ask you one more quick question that I've been wanting to know for a little bit. It's great to see when people succeed in their fields that they can give back a little bit. And in your job, you have been able to give back by working as, you know, educating young radio aspiring broadcasters through Radio Hofstra University. And I just wanted to wonder, like, how have you been able to give back to the local community, to Long Island, by teaching some students some of the stuff you've learned in your craft?
Yeah, that's been a real fun thing for me. I have to tell you, you know, you made the point before, you know, try to find something you love and make that your job, and that's what I always tell the students. You know, if you can find something that you love and make it your job, you never feel like you go to work. And I feel very lucky in that regard, in that, you know, for 6 months of the year, I do Islander games on the radio and I go to a hockey rink. Then for the other 6 months, I actually do Long Island Ducks baseball on the radio, and that's my second love, which is minor league baseball. So, you know, either when I wake up every morning, I either go to a hockey rink or I go to a baseball stadium. Mm-hmm. And other than home, which is my favorite place to be, those are my two favorite places to be. So I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to try to pass on some of that wisdom to the Hofstra students. But, you know, let's give them a lot of credit, you know, for what they've done. This is 8 years now that they've been producing this broadcast that not only airs on Hofstra's radio station, WRHU, but airs on affiliates that we have, WRCN on the east end of Long Island. We also have AM 970, The Answer, in New York City. And we also have 30 games a season now that get, you know, put on WFAN, which is the biggest sports station in the country. And those broadcasts are completely produced entirely from start to finish by Hofstra students. So, you know, they deserve a lot of the credit for the way that the game sounds on the air. In fact, they've won two Marconi Awards as the best non-commercial radio station in the country. And that's not just college radio stations, that's every non-commercial radio station in the country. You know, again, they've won the Marconi this year for the second time now recently as the best non-com radio station in the country. So all the students at Hofstra deserve so much of the credit for, you know, the way the broadcast sounds, how hard they work behind the scenes. Every night in the studio, we have, you know, four or five students working on that end. We have students with us out at Barclays Center who do in-between period interviews, post-game interviews, talk to the players, talk to the coaches. And it's just a thrill to watch them come up, almost like you talk about some of these young Islanders like Matt Barzell and Anthony Beauvillier. Well, over 8 years now, we've seen the cycle come through Hofstra where, you know, youngsters who start out as an 18-year-old freshman, by the time they're the 21, 22-year-old seniors, you know, they're showing everybody else how the job's done. But they learn so much, and you know, they're the reason the broadcast sounds like it does. So I absolutely love working with the students. As you mentioned, it's a way to give a little bit back, but it's so rewarding for me when I see, you know, where they start out so green, and then by the time they're finished, they're polished broadcasters. And, you know, just what some of my students have gone on to already has just amazed me this young in their careers. So it's a two-way street. I love doing what I do with them, and they give me so much satisfaction when they leave and then succeed elsewhere using the skills that they gained on Islander hockey.
Well, thank you so much for everything you've had to say. This was an amazing interview, and just everything you had to say was amazing to hear, especially for people who might not know about hockey. Hopefully they can see the passion you have for it and how it's definitely something great to get into. So once again, everyone, that was Mr. Chris King. Thank you so much for coming on, and I hope you have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Anytime.
Of course. So that was Mr. Chris King. Right now we're going to take a brief break, and we will be back in a few minutes with Jared Flax, the co-host.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
As we heard today from so many speakers more eloquent than me, Bob Dole has spent a lifetime serving this country with courage and conviction.
Vice President Mike Pence, along with President Trump and other lawmakers, honoring former Senate Majority Leader Bob Dole today. Senator Elizabeth Dole also had comments honoring her husband.
It was Ev Dirksen who famously observed, "I am a man of fixed and unbending principles. And one of my principles is flexibility."
Senator Bob Dole was awarded the Congressional Gold Medal in a Capitol ceremony. Republicans in the Senate are racing to put together a short-term budget deal before the government runs out of money late Friday night. In a Capitol briefing earlier, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says there's a lot of moving parts in negotiations. Democrats' demands for protections for Dreamers remains a key sticking point. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Find out more. Call 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE. Bible, now available in Montana, 833-39-BIBLE.
In a White House briefing, the Principal Deputy Assistant Attorney General, Ed O'Callaghan, gave a summary of the number of terrorists still on American soil.
As indicated in the report, as of December 31st of 2016, there are 549 individuals on that list of convictions of terrorism, international terrorism-related offenses. A subsequent DHS analysis of those 549 individuals convicted of international terrorism-related offenses determined that approximately 73%, or 402 of these 549 individuals, were foreign-born.
Once again, Ed O'Callaghan earlier today at a press briefing. Steve Bannon will reportedly be interviewed by prosecutors and will not have to testify before a grand jury in the Russia investigation. There are multiple reports about Bannon striking a deal with the special counsel Robert Mueller. Bannon is a former top advisor to President Trump and was instrumental in Trump's surprise victory in the 2016 presidential election. You can find more news and headlines online at usaradio.com. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
A new watchdog group focused on reproductive health care is taking on the Department of Health and Human Services.
Called Equity Forward, and the executive director, Mary Alice Carter, says the nonpartisan group will hold organizations and individuals, which they argue limit access to reproductive health care, accountable. Its first project, called HHS Watch, will include a full audit of decision makers at that federal agency. She says they'll dig into their positions and backgrounds, and they'll monitor their actions. Carter saying, quote, Americans deserve to know when their government's hiring people with backgrounds antithetical to the mission of the offices in which they serve. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Nine former Winter Olympic cities are at risk of becoming too warm to host future Winter Games. Researchers from the University of Waterloo in Ontario suggest that climate data and change models predict a grim future for the former winter sports hosting cities. They say by 2050, cities such as Sochi, Oslo, Sarajevo, and France, among others, could all see winter temperatures well above the required minimum. A hosting city is required to have daily highs hovering around freezing and snow depth of at least 30 centimeters by February 1st, which can include snowmaking. A strong start to the earnings season propelled trading on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped more than 300 points and closed above the 26,000 mark for the first time ever. The Dow finished the day 323 points higher for a record close of 26,116. The S&P added 26 points to finish at 2803, and the NASDAQ was up 75 points to 7298. I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey. This is David Lazar, and right now we are coming on with Jared Flax, who is a co-host of the show, but unfortunately we had technical difficulties at the start and we're not able to get him in with Chris King, so we did the interview with him. He really wanted to talk to Chris King, but unfortunately he couldn't, but right now we're going to come talk to him, talk about what Chris King said, and talk a little bit more about the Islanders, the Rangers, and the Devils. So right now we're going to come into Jared. Let's see. Jared, you there? Hey, Jared, what's going on?
And how are you?
I'm doing well. So sorry about that again, but we're really glad you're here now. And basically, if you just want to introduce yourself and talk about your time on Drive for Five.
I will do. For people who don't know me, my name is Jared Flax. I actually live not anywhere near the New York Islanders. I live in the southeastern United States. Recently, we started Drive for Five, and it's been one heck of a ride that I've enjoyed. I have loved working with David, and recently, me and David decided that I would become a co-owner of Drive for Five, and that's been the last few months. David's, more of the face of the site. I'm a little more behind the scenes type of deal, but I've really enjoyed my time at Drive for Five. It's been great. We love getting those articles out there for a lot of our fans to read, and I'm just glad that we're able to cover the New York Islanders, which is the team that we love the most.
Yeah, so we do come from an Islanders background. That's where we came from. But we do want to take this radio show as an opportunity to possibly expand into the Rangers and the Devils and more of the tri-state hockey. So for start, though, we did have an amazing interview with Chris King. We talked about Matt Barzal, Josh Hosang, the defense, and some players that D'Arsino could have acquired. And one thing we heard that I do want to touch on is that we've heard this from Arthur Staple. We've heard this from Alan Hahn. We've heard this from Andy Graziano. Garth Snow loves his guys. And is this a problem? It could be. We don't know. But from what we've seen in the past, I think this could be a problem. Garth Snow is a very, you know, insistent on sticking with the people he's drafted and brought up, whether that's Scott Mayfield, Adam Pellick. And he's reluctant to make trades. Right now, there are a ton of players out there, whether it be a player like I talked about with Mr. King, I talked about Chris Tanev, Nicholas Jalmerson, Erica Branson. There's tons of guys out there. And Cody Franson was just a guy who was put on waivers. So, you know, you look at all these players and Garth Snow hasn't done it. So I want to talk to you and ask, if you were Garth Snow, what would you do to address the defensive issues for the Islanders?
Before I even address the issues, one thing I want to start with is I know there's not a lot of Islander fans that might be listening to this, but Islander fans have a love hate. Years back, he traded and acquired Nick Leddy and Johnny Boychuk, two of our top defensemen, one of which is injured, being Johnny Boychuk. And, you know, that's a time where we loved Garth Snow. I mean, it was two almost nothing deals where we got two incredible defensemen who have actually held our defensive line over the past few seasons. But then there are times like right now where we really are anticipating Garth Snow to make these moves for players when we need them. And hesitancy is something that we all don't like. There are many players out there, like you said, Nick Jalmerson, for example, a solid defenseman for the Chicago Blackhawks, who recently went elsewhere, is someone who would have been a great option for the Islanders. And I'm surprised Snow didn't jump on that, because that would have been a solid man to put next to Leddy. The two of them used to play with each other back in Chicago. And I'm just almost surprised that, knowing that he could have done that, he didn't. I would like to see a trade for defenseman. You said earlier, maybe get rid of a few draft picks and trade for defenseman, which is an ideal trade. You know, during the offseason, we got rid of Travis Hamonic, and I'm going to be honest, I'm still kind of upset about that, even though Hamonic might not be having the greatest season he's had in his career. He was a solid defenseman with the Islanders. He played top minutes, played next to Nick Leddy, and was a good, solid top three defenseman for the New York Islanders. And in this case, I think Garth Snow kind of might regret trading him, because there are defensemen out there, but there's not a lot of big-name top defensemen out there that are really on the trade market right now who we would be easy to get, and we'd have to give up some good players, potentially someone maybe like Brock Nelson, to get a solid defenseman to come into the lineup. And that's where I stand right now, where personally as a fan, I have a feeling that he might be regretting the trade, getting rid of Travis Hamonic.
I completely agree. Travis Hamonic is a guy that would stabilize the defense. The trade at the time was good. It was starting off well when the Islanders had an amazing offense. But now that the defensive problems are coming into light, Travis Hamonic is a guy that would really help. But I think the Travis Hamonic trade isn't something that you should necessarily focus on, just because you can get a guy like Travis Hamonic. There are countless defensemen out there that can come in and plug some holes. But Garth Snow is someone who is really happy with his guys that he has right now. He's someone who, you know, stays with what he has in the organization. And if you add a defenseman to this lineup, Johnny Boychuk's coming back, so let's hope he's back and healthy and better than ever. But, you know, maybe we don't have that December. Maybe the Islanders don't have that December terrible fall that they had. Maybe they don't lose five in a row. Maybe they are still in a playoff spot right now, which they are unfortunately not. So the Islanders' defense has been an issue, but as Chris King pointed out, he thinks that Sebastian Aho is going to be someone that this team can count on for years. He thinks that Johnny Boychuk will be back healthy, and maybe this issue will be solved soon, and let's hope it is. I do want to move on to something else that Chris King talked about, and that was players like Matt Barzal and Josh Hosang. And I did want to ask you, you were able to see Matt Barzal grow from seeing him take two penalties in a row in that Washington game, seeing him get drafted, and now he's really growing into a star. How do you feel that Matt Barzal can potentially, if John Tavares leaves, but let's hope he doesn't leave, but even if he does, let's hypothetically say he does, how do you think Matt Barzal can turn into a star in this league and really be a leader in the Islanders for years to come?
right now, I'm absolutely adoring Matt Barzal. He's currently one of my favorite Islanders at the moment. I know that's very cliche as an Islanders fan to pick the kid who just came out of nowhere is doing incredible as your favorite Islander. But personally, I followed him before he was playing this season, you know, the last 2 years and playing the juniors. And this season he's actually had his opportunity. And last year, personally, I thought he was going to get that opportunity. But last season, after getting rid of Matt Martin, losing Franz Nielsen, was that last season or the season before? It was last season.
Yeah.
Whenever they got rid of him, I really expected him to be able to step up into the lineup and do something. And I was actually kind of sad to see him go back to the juniors last season because he's obviously shown this season that he has that capability to be that star player. And forget about him for a second. Josh Hosang, Brent Thompson said it. He's immature. And once he gets his maturity up and focuses a little more on the game and not childish things, he's going to be a solid player. And you're going to have two solid players out of Matt Barzal and Joshua Hosang. So I think the future looks bright for the Islanders. You touched on a little bit before how Garth Snow likes to say with his kids. I'm going to use as a word for say his kids as an example because he's drafted these players, he's watched them grow, and he's giving them currently opportunities to five players who made their NHL debut within the last 2 months and weeks. So I think Matt Barzal will be able to hold himself in the future if, for say, John Tavares leaves because Matt Barzal has shown time and time again throughout this season that he has gotten over the hump that he had last year, that bad start that he had at the beginning of last season, which set it back to the juniors. He's really showed that he's gotten over that, and I think that he has shown that he can take this team to the next level, and we shouldn't be worried that if Tavares goes, we have Matt Barzal in the back hold us through.
Yeah. Matt Barzal is a guy that without him on the team, this team would not be where they are right now, and that's clear. He's been the heart and soul of this team. He's the best skater in the league, according to Max Pacioretty, as Chris King pointed out. He is someone who can put the puck in the net. He has an amazing backhand, amazing forehand. He can skate. He can pass. He's a player who has everything and is someone that this team needs. You look at the Metropolitan Division standings, and this is the division that is the bloodbath of the NHL. For those of you unaware of hockey, it's split up into four divisions. The Metropolitan Division, the Atlantic Division, the Central Division, and the Pacific Division. The Metropolitan Division is one of the best divisions of all time. You have the Washington Capitals, a team who are always in it. The New Jersey Devils, who are streaking, and even though they've lost six games in a row up until last night, they're a team that is really in there and contending for a cup. The Columbus Blue Jackets are a team that, ever since they got John Tortorella, they've just been continuously adding to their core, adding players like Artemi Panarin. Then you got the New York Rangers, who are always there with Ryan McDonough and Matt Zuccarello, these core players. They play a fast game, not much physicality, but they're just a team that's always there. Pittsburgh Penguins, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Phil Kessel, not much more to say. And then there's the Islanders, the Philadelphia Flyers, who are a team with a lot of heart, good goaltending, good defense, and then the Carolina Hurricanes, who are a sleeper team. And if I were to tell you that that's eight teams right there, those eight teams are at the top of the standings. They are anywhere from 48 points to 59 points, which is how hockey points are judged. And the division is tight. The Islanders are in sixth place in the division, and without Matt Barzal, they'd be in last place. The Metropolitan Division is a division where one loss can drop you three spots. The Devils have seen it. They went from being all the way at the top. They've lost a few games. Now they're right down there, and if they lose a few more, they can be out of a playoff spot. So the Metropolitan Division, I do want to ask you to touch on this. We didn't get to talk about it with Chris King, but the Metropolitan Division is one of the best divisions of all time, and it's where a lot of teams that are going to be great teams are going to not make the playoffs. So how do you feel about this division and how players like Matt Barzal, John Tavares, Josh Bailey have been able to keep the Islanders afloat in such a terrible division in terms of it just being bad to be a part of it because it's so hard?
You couldn't have said it better, David. The Metro Division is definitely one of the hardest divisions in hockey, who sit atop the Eastern Conference right now. I mean, you have the Washington Capitals who lead the Metro, followed by the Devils after their win last night, and they're followed by the Columbus Blue Jackets, who you even said had that big turnaround after John Tortorella came in. And then you have the Rangers, who had somewhat of an okay season this year, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, who have gone up and down in the standings over the past few weeks. And then they're followed by the Islanders, the Flyers, and the Hurricanes. That's the Metro Division this year. And then behind them is the rest of the Eastern Conference, which you said before, it is the hardest division in hockey. And the Islanders have shown that they can play and play at the level with all these other teams. You know, you have the past 2 years, you have the Pittsburgh Penguins who have won the Stanley Cup. They've won it over, I think, almost five times in the last, since 2000. And it's something to notice. You know, the Pittsburgh Penguins are a hard team. The Washington Capitals are always making the playoffs. The Columbus Blue Jackets had an incredible year last year and almost took out the Penguins, but ended up losing to them. But like you said, the Metro Division is really hard, and the Islanders have a team that can compete with them. It's just a matter of getting those crucial wins against the fellow Metropolitan Division rivals, specifically playing teams like the New Jersey Devils, like we did last night, and unfortunately lost in a game which I was expecting to win. A team that had gone and lost six in a row, I was expecting a loss by them to have them fall seven in a row. But every team comes up and down in the Metro Division. You know, at the beginning of the season, the Islanders had a great start. We're on top of the division, and then a few losses in December, and it dropped them out of a playoff spot. So, like you said before, this is an up-and-down division. Anything can happen, and come April at the end of the season, it could be up to that final game where we finally see them making the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. It's on our show, Destination Hockey. We are going to be talking about the Metropolitan Division a lot because, frankly, it's just what you got to talk about in this league. It's a crazy division. It's a historic division, and the Islanders are getting caught in being in this division. So I do want to talk about and close it up with just, we had the opportunity to interview Chris King in our first episode of Destination Hockey today. And Chris King is someone that, for me at least, has been a voice that it was an honor to talk to. Whenever I was not able to watch games on TV, whether I was in the car, instead of getting upset that I wasn't able to watch the game, I would be happy because Chris King's voice would be there to, you know, get me through the game. And Chris King, I know for you especially, he's someone that has been almost a role model to you. You loved his call, the Tavares call. You wanted me to ask him about that. Unfortunately, you weren't able to ask him yourself. But how has Chris King for you just been able to be someone who has been an Islanders role model?
Since I live in the Southeast, like I said before, I don't get a lot of the games on TV unless I buy the NHL package, which is a lot of listening to Chris King over and over and over and him doing his calls. And I've really fallen in love with him. You know, when Howie Rose left, I said, give the job to Chris King. He's a passionate person. He loves the New York Islanders. He's been a fan since they became a team. And they gave it to Brendan Burke, who was great. And I have words can't describe Brendan Burke and how great he is at his job. But Chris King is someone that I love. Listening to his voice every night, the passion that he shows for this team is something that's unlike any other radio announcer that there is. He said it himself. He's been following this team since they came a team in 1972, and that's something that you can't find in a lot of radio announcers or announcers in general. The Islanders have Butch Goring as one of the announcers on MSG, and he played for the Islanders. It's people like Chris King and Butch Goring who really have a passion for the team that they announce for that really show their true passion. And Chris King is honestly one of my favorite people to listen to on the radio. Every time he's on NHL Network, I love to listen to him because he knows a lot about the Islanders. And he's someone I look up to, and he's the passion that he has for his job, everything he does, what he talks about for the Islanders, and everything he does for the Islanders is something that a lot of people don't realize. And Chris King, for me, is just, I can't describe how I feel about Chris King. There's just a lot of things that I love about him.
Yeah, so it was amazing to have the chance to interview him, and I'm glad we got to talk to you because you will be a big part of this show as well. And right now, it's 6 o'clock. We're going to have to end it up soon. But I did want to just thank everyone who's gotten us to this journey. We started off as all Islanders, as a lot of our loyal followers know, and we've come to be able to be our own site, Drive for Five, which has already increased on the viewership of all Islanders. We're doing great things in terms of, you know, live streams and our website and our Twitter and giving away tickets and everything, and I'm proud to be a part of it. Getting to the radio was a big step for us, and for our site, I think it's a big moment for us. And it's just something that I'm happy that we're able to do. The radio is really something that's great. It's something that not everyone gets the opportunity to do. It's unique, and it's something that will be able to be a part of me forever. And I'm happy that for the next stage of my life, for the next few months, I'm able to be on the radio with you guys and talk about the Islanders, talk about the Metropolitan Division, as we talked about a lot today, and just talk to some great people like Jared Harris, who you'll meet later, and also some other great people. So with that, I think we're going to end our first episode. Thank you so much to Chris King. Thank you to Jared for being on. And be on the lookout next week at 5 o'clock. We'll be right here again. And we will have Andy Graziano coming up, Arthur Staple coming up. We'll have a lot of great interviews coming up. So thank you so much to everyone for listening, and I hope you guys have a great night.
At 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It is 9:05, time for Hunter Chamber Radio.